Douglas E. Welch facilitates the question and answer session at PodCamp SoCal, held September 27, 2007 in Ontario, California. Sponsored by the Orange County Podcasters and the LA Podcasters at ocpodcasters.com and lapodcasters.com. For more information, visit Douglas's website at welchwrite.com, welchwrite.com.
I'd sort of like to hear from other people why they're here. I mean, something to do with marketing at the beginning, to do a little introduction, to do something that formal, but I always start out by asking, what is the most pressing question you have? So does anyone want to jump up with this? And let me tell you, no, there is no such thing as a stupid question. I've asked them all, so there aren't any left, okay? So really, if you have any basic questions, I mean, what levels are we at? How many people are podcasting now? So most of you are podcasting now. What is your most pressing issue as a podcaster? Are we talking about RSS feeds? Are we talking about blogging software? What seems to be, Adam, the most pressing question you have as a podcaster?
My spouse?
Your spouse?
Wondering when I'm going to stop.
And just let me know when we're ready to go to the next
segment.
Hi, Douglas Welch, by the way.
If you want, you can come up and use the mic up here.
That's fine. I tend to walk around.
That's for sure.
As Jason was saying, PodCamp and BarCamp type environments, unconference environments, are all about you. They're all about us. We decide what we talk about. We decide what we cover. So, Adam, at the bottom of the subject, how many people have trouble with their spouses and finding time for podcasting?
Oh.
How many people can't find a spouse because they podcast?
I was joking. Mine's been very, very supportive.
You know what? Honestly, mine is too.
It is a problem.
Well, I'll tell you, I have a personal problem. I record in my office, and I'll be sitting there recording a show, or I was doing something live with Victor the other night, and it's like my 9-year-old son comes running, Dad, so he's just talking, but I'm like, shh, come on. You're pulling the fingers down. Wait a minute, I'm actually working right now. He's like, you know, how do you do? Do you have a separate office?
I have a separate office on a whole different floor.
Do you have like an on-air light on the door there? No, you don't want to see it.
I do get the thump from
upstairs. Stop dancing up there.
But no, I mean, from a technological standpoint, you know, presser limit is how I deal with a lot of the ambient noise.
There's another hand here. Well, Bill, you were talking that aspect of it. You were joking probably. Well, you sold. You just bought the whole PodCamp Expo, so.
My biggest struggle with my podcast is I get plenty of time to record it. I can never seem to find time to edit it. I've made a few appearances on other people's podcasts and mashups this week, and it was really cool because then I can just go to dinner afterward and somebody else did the work. So
yeah.
I
try to edit. I mean, I do a variety of shows. How many people do a show?
You, Victor.
There he is. Victor's coming over. How many people do a show that is pre-written? Because I have a show like that too. I have a weekly show called Career Opportunities that is based on a print column. And so when I'm recording that show, I simply sit down and read through the piece. And what I do is I edit while I record. If I make a flop, I stop, I trim, and I go forward. So by the time I'm done recording, all I have to do is sum stuff up.
You have a co-host?
I do not have a co-host. Now, I remember you were having issues where you were kind of having multiple co-hosts. You were bringing in a lot of different people. How did that affect you?
Scheduling was interesting. You know, when you're asking someone to give up extra time on top of their own, you really have to be flexible. But you do get to kind of tap into their audience, because their audience kind of come over. They're not going to stay unless they like your show, but you know, if they end up liking it, then it was a benefit to them. So, and vice versa. All three people listen to iPhone Radio, and now listen to the other show.
And that is a great idea. I just recently was able, for whatever happened this week, I was a guest on two other shows. And if you can do that, if you can find people with similar interests, similar shows, go ahead and guest on other shows and have guests on your shows, because what you're doing is you're combining your audiences. I just did I was a guest on Victor Callao's Typical Mac User Show, and people got introduced to me who probably maybe never heard of me before. So, again, great idea, great way to expand your audience. How many people are looking to expand their audience? Oh, okay. Thank you. And by the way, my URL is... No, I'm
talking to myself.
Yeah, sometimes you do feel like you're talking to yourself, don't you? It's very much that. Is anybody out there? There's a line in 1776, a musical says, is anybody there? Does anybody care? And there are certainly some days. Guesting on other people's show, great way to do it. Also, producing promos for other people. Hi, this is Douglas Walsh from Great Opportunity. You're listening to The Typical Mac User. And sharing those with your friends, with your podcasting cohorts, it's a great way of giving some assistance to them while also giving yourself a little PR. I know in Friends in Tech, the group I'm a member of, we do that a lot. We actually have kind of these promo fests that we do for each other, where we're all getting bitten by the bug, and we'll just do a promo for all the other member shows. So we have something new to share with our users, because after a while, people can get tired of hearing the same promos all the time, right? So as far as first of all, any questions? Yes, sir.
Hi, I'm Keith. Keith, I have the Klezmer podcast. My question is, I'm doing my podcast on a Mac, and I'm hosting a .Mac. And my podcast comes out in a .m4a file that I upload to the .Mac. But I want to be able to do a straight MP3 also. And I'm struggling with the hosting question of how to host the MP3 and M4A file on the same host, or if I keep .Mac, dump .Mac, what to do?
There are a variety of ways of doing it. I'm sure we got some answers. Adam does this himself. I know he comes out with a lot of different formats. So what do you say, Adam?
Yeah, I use both. I do both MP3 and M4A, and I've been doing it for a long time because of, I started out on .Mac, actually, but quickly outgrew it. And that's going to be your biggest problem as you gain audience and you get your show out there. You're gonna push the limits of what they provide for you.
Right.
And plus, in going in M4A, you've limited your audience to some degree because pretty much iPod and a few Sony players are about all I know that really support that format. I quickly got on with Libsyn, which I love. I think they're great because of the bandwidth issues, and also I'm just able to upload both versions of the file. So I use GarageBand to edit my show. The newest version lets you just write straight out the MP3 and the M4A very, very easily. It's an awesome feature. So I just write those out, put them up on the Libsyn server. You could continue to use .Mac for your hosting and then just point to those audio files. And that's probably, doing a scenario like that as a first step is probably your best bet. Ultimately, you might want to even just move your hosting. So I just have share a hosting account on GoDaddy. Where I put a blog and post and stuff like that, and then I use a program called Feeder, and I actually kind of hand you my feed still.
That was a question I just had for you. What are you using to create the alternative RSS feed?
But I also do another show called the Mac Roundtable, and I use WordPress for both of my blogs, which I love also, and PodPress is awesome. We use that on Mac Roundtable. It's just I was already kind of locked in with the whole Feeder workflow, so I've not switched off of it. And I love Feeder as a program. I like to have a lot of control over my feed, and I can really craft it how I want with that one. The other show is just much easier, though. If you use something like PodPress, it's just going to pick up the information, and your feed's kind of done for you. And that's an awesome plugin for WordPress.
And I'll throw in a plug for FeedBurner. I know the FeedBurner people are here at Expo.
Oh, I use FeedBurner, too.
Yeah.
For the MP3 feed, the M4A.
I was hand-coding my feed. There really wasn't any other solution when I got started back in 2004. So I copied Adam Curry's RSS feed, edited everything, all the extraneous stuff out, and then basically copy and paste it each week to do my show. And if you've ever looked at RSS, you know there are dates and times and that it have to be perfectly formatted and everything else. So when FeedBurner came along, I was like, oh, thank God. Now I don't have to mess with this stuff anymore. Yes, sir, you have a question, comment?
Yeah, I was looking at that PodPress. Yeah, I'm Bill Heath, and I was looking at the PodPress or the WordPress. And my interesting problem is I like to delegate a lot of this stuff to other people. The podcast that I'm working on right now is mainly for our church. And so they want to do their weekly sermons and then maybe put some notes on the blog. But then they want to have other people build in the library. And I just wanted to ask if anyone's using the PodPress, is that something that's easy just for a brand new?
Upload file.
Adam, is he going to know Victor or use PodPress for yourself?
Well, because WordPress has support for multiple users, the latest version does a pretty good job of it. I actually, with my blog, I have other people write for my blog, so I've just set up accounts for all those people, and you can kind of control the levels. I don't know how that integrates with Podcrest per se. So depending on how much you trust these people, I don't know if Podcrest taps into the user controls for WordPress, but if it does. And it should work pretty nicely to allow people to post things. So, like in the case of my blog posts, I've given them permission to write and edit their own content, but they can't publish it. So what happens is they'll write it, tell me they've written something, and then I can go through and act as an editor, edit, you know, write anything that needs to be edited, and then publish it. So it gives you kind of that editorial control over the content. So you might be able to set up a similar situation with your feed and posting that. The show.
Now we started talking. How many people are confused about everything we just said? I know there's someone here who's like, going, "What are they talking about? WordPress and all this?"
Yes, sir. So, what, if he's using WordPress for
his blog, and then Libsyn for hosting the file, so you have something that points from WordPress to
Podpress. When you use the Podcast plugin, there's literally a field, an extra field in the blog post that says, "Where's your MP3 file?" And so on Libsyn, they just in their interface they'll give you a clipping. You just clip the URL and you plug it into the form field on Podcast, and it knows where it is. It can even pull information like the duration and some of the MP3 MP3 tags that you put on there, and it just pulls right into the feed and it generates it for you.
An important note, while staying there, you don't need to host your MP3 files before you host your blog.
Yeah, and that's
that's a really important point, because a lot of people get caught up on that. And again, as your show gets popular, from a bandwidth way of thinking about things, it could end up being a really big problem for you. And that's why, you know, a service like Libsyn is so great, because you pay one monthly flat fee, and it doesn't matter if your show has 300 listeners or 300,000 listeners.
I'm all being covered.
Yeah, you're never gonna get shut down.
You have a question back there? Libsyn. LIBSYN.com. It stands for Liberated Syndication. Is a name. Is there anybody from Libsyn here?
Yeah, there.
No, they should be here. Oh, there. You want to know more about it? Talk to them. All complaints, though, should be taken out this door to the right and across the street. So just try to make sure we get everybody included here. Is there someone who has a more basic question? I really want to say, don't feel nervous about it. Don't feel scared. If there's really a question you have that's more basic than Podpress and WordPress and blogs and everything else, please go ahead and throw it out. Yes, sir.
I had a question, kind of going back to you. I don't know about this, by the way. I'm a jazz singer in Hollywood, and I'm starting a jazz podcast.
Yeah. Sweet.
I have a lot of content I've already created. I'm just at the stage where I want to make sure all my ID3 tags are valid and perfect so I can maximize this exposure and get my feed burned. And you mentioned Libsyn and also you said GoDaddy. Where I have a GoDaddy account that I've done on my music through my website, that the old website. But where does GoDaddy fit in with it?
I had everything. So the way I've set my setup is basically I have everything really separated in terms of where the content goes. So the actual audio files, the MP3s that I tag and things like that, those are hosted on Libsyn. And you know, Rob is here from Libsyn. He'd be a great guy to talk to about what they offer, but. Because they'll do everything. They can do your blog, they can do, front to end, everything if you want to manage that. I just was in early. I've been doing this for a long time, and I was doing the hand-edited feed thing. And so I just kind of fell into this way of working, but I think it works in my scenario. So GoDaddy has my website, has the blog, has to do kind of some blog posts and things like that. Libsyn has the MP3 files, so that's all they serve up. I have to pick up my audio files there, MP3, AAC, and I point to those from my feed. Like I said, I still kind of hand do my feed with another application. So that is, I can turn this thing off.
please turn off your iPhone. The iPhone count is now six. The iPhone count is now six.
I hand you the feed. That is hosted on my GoDaddy account. But again, when I started, I got hooked in with FeedBurner, which is great because it manages the feed too. So the MP3 version, I do two versions of my show. The MP3 only, which is just an audio only, and then I do the AAC, which is enhanced. It has some features that are only supported on iTunes and iPod. Both of those feeds are there, but then the MP3 one is pointed through FeedBurner. And that's just because I was already there and I just never dealt with moving people off of it, and it works. I mean, they do a nice job with it. I get some stats from them, and so.
Where does WordPress start? Because I started a WordPress blog that I'm actually hosting on my GoDaddy.
Right, exactly. So
is that how you...
What happens is WordPress actually spits out, unlike Blogger or some of the other plugins, WordPress actually spits out a basic podcast ready feed. It's still fairly basic. There are plugins you can get for WordPress, like PodPress, that automatically put in all the iTunes-specific categories, logo art, all that stuff. This is the plugin for WordPress. I don't know if you've dealt with the plugins at all for WordPress. By the way, if you are using FeedBurner, there's also a great plugin for WordPress called FeedSwitch that does all the redirection for you, for your feed. So people actually think they're subscribing to your local feed, but actually it's shipping them out to FeedBurner. It's one of those issues we ran into early on with FeedBurner do I really own my feed? Because FeedBurner is doing this for me, and if people are subscribing right to the feed, what happens if they go away? Now, in the days before they got bought by Google, that was an issue. Less so now, thank goodness. But now there are ways of redirecting, so people actually don't know you're using the FeedBurner feed if you don't go out there. Now, I'm also old school. Unlike Adams, I've got a huge listenership, and so he needs lips and something like that. I find that with my GoDaddy account, I can actually host all my files locally off my own web host on my GoDaddy account and not really even come close to getting my traffic limitations.
Right. So just to simplify things, so in my scenario, GoDaddy is the hosting account. WordPress is the thing that sits on top of GoDaddy. That is the visual, that's what controls what the page looks like. So when you go to madcaps.com, which is my website, all the visual, everything you're getting is the WordPress control. And then my feed files are there, the XML files are there, but they're ones that I create by hand using a program called Feeder. So I FTP those up, and that's what I point iTunes to, that's what I point FeedBurner to. So those are the feed files. And then the actual audio files are on a separate server. They're on the Libsyn servers and managed by them, and the feeds point to those. So that kind of...
I'd like to say for all the podcast listeners, thank you for a musician to be concerned about your MP3 tags. We really
well, something I tell any musicians, especially, because the trouble with music is your MP3 files can easily get disassociated from your podcast and your blog, and they're kind of free floating out there. The fact is, if you don't have something, if you don't have your MP3 tags in, and by the way, I highly recommend you put email addresses, website addresses in the comments field, because that would be the only way people know how to get back to you if your MP3 is kind of hanging out there on the ethernet somewhere.
There's nothing worse than pulling up that file and it says song 5 or
yeah,
song 3. You don't know who it's from or it's horrible. We have a question?
Yeah, first I got to get the other way out later because I do the Cluster podcast, so we can talk about the music stuff. But for Adam,
on the upload, some of these, I don't know if Libsyn has it, there's like a limit on the amount of upload you can do per month or something like 100 megabytes or something like that. Do you run into any problems with upload limit?
Jump over the table. Throw it to him.
Yeah, I mean, the way Libsyn works is you have different services, the level of services you'll pay for. So like $5 a month, you get all of them, you get unlimited downloads. $5 a month, you get 100 meg of rolling uploads. So if you upload a 20 meg file on day one, come day 31, that moves into archive. And it frees up another 20 meg versus your 100 meg limit. So
and that
file is
still available. It's just in a different
server
storage.
It's in a different area. The URL does not change. I mean, I've been with Wizard Media since the beginning of August. I've been using Libsyn for over 2 years for Podcast 411. And I have files that have been up there since April of 2005 that I've never had to touch. They're still available. The URLs still work. So nothing that changes. It's a rolling archive of storage. So a lot of people mistaken that, and there's some other services out there where you get 100 meg of upload and that's it, and then you have to take them down. That's not the way it is with Libsyn. We understand how podcasters work and how it works for you. You don't want to take your files down. You want to put them up once, and that's it, and they're there forever. And then there's 250 meg for 10 bucks, and it goes up to 800 meg for 30 bucks a month.
So again, if you have any questions specifically about Libsyn, you actually have a booth here?
Yes, at the booth 318, and you can reach me at rob@wizard.tv, W-I-Z-Z-A-R-D. TV or rob@podcast411.com.
That's great. I mean, that again, let's go straight to the source for some of the information we have here. It's great to have all sorts of people here at PodCamp because you have the vendors, the providers, service providers, you have the podcasters and everybody involved. Yes, sir.
Another thing about Libsyn that's been very beneficial for us, you know, first we were just putting up MP3 files for our podcast, but then we started branching off into video. So now we're throwing out an MP3 one day, and then we'll throw out, you know, a video file another day. And Libsyn's been able to handle all those for us without any problems. So that's worked really well for us. So if you find yourself evolving in whatever it is that you're distributing, your content, you know, if for a musician, if you put out podcasts, at first they're just audio, and then you eventually decide that you want to put out a video of your performances as well, then Libsyn's been really great for us for being able to handle those things too.
Another quick poll. How many people started podcasting in 2007?
Check, check.
Couple, okay. How many in 2006? Okay, 2005. 2004. I know these guys. 2003. Well, that brings up an interesting topic. Some people will say podcasting existed before podcasting existed because we had streaming video, we had MP3 files on websites. It's totally exceptional. I take my start date from when the first podcasting downloader scripts came out. That's where I jumped in September 2004. Okay. Next question. I thought I saw a hand. Where did I see a hand? Someone. Yes, John. And I will say, I am old school in regards to MP3 tags, too. I use iTunes to set my MP3 tags. I use iTunes to convert my files. Like you were talking, converting M4A to you know what? I use iTunes. GarageBand now has the ability to actually export an MP3 directly, so I actually save a step now. And it'll also put the artwork on if you want to do it.
Add my show notes to basically what's the music lyrics,
the lyrics
feel.
Yeah. Which,
so which is interesting. Little things like that are nice.
I'm not sure what does it, but even if you don't fill in that lyrics field, iTunes seems to be grabbing the first paragraph of the post and putting it in there.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a feed burner. I actually don't know.
And that's actually a point of contention for me too, because iTunes, for whatever reason, rewrites
the
name. Yeah, the title tag, which can be annoying.
Yes, sir. Who is this Adam guy anyway?
Yeah, but
Adam is the host of the MacCast. Yeah. And I can never, it's two C's, right, Adam? MacCast.com and also the MacCast Loop Live. Some pornography site or something out here. I'll throw out, as far as naming my files, I'll throw out something I use for my career opportunity show. I use career-op-2007.09.28.mp3. Again, so if you just get a raw MP3 file, sometimes that file name itself should have some information in there about where it came from. Yes, sir?
We also forget that a lot of people are looking on the iPod. They're looking at the iPod at the show notes, and that's a very short field. We have a tendency to make these really long names that you never see. It has to scroll into that. So So we always want to remember, what are they looking at? You know, what are they viewing the show on?
Yeah, and if you, I mean, most of us, I assume, have an iPod. I actually had a second generation iPod given to me when I started podcasting. So I didn't know what my show looked like on an iPod as far as how it came up and all this stuff. So it's always worth taking a few minutes and looking at it on an iPod so you can see, does your name have to scroll? Does the title have to scroll? Are things cut off? Where does the lyrics field cut off if it's automatically provided and stuff like that? Because you're not always sure. Yes, sir.
Another thing that when thinking about this iPod thing, and especially a lot of people listen to podcasts in the car, and for safety reasons, so I continue to use a tag at the front of every show that gives the name of the show, the date of the show, and maybe a show number. You know, different people do it different ways, but it's important because if someone's listening in the car and they've already heard that, they might want to skip to the next one. It's a simple hit of the next button. They don't have to look at the screen. They just heard what show. And some people even go a step further and give like an overview, a summary of what is going to happen in that episode.
Yeah, I actually started doing a little summary now in some of my shows. That actually started with the iPod Shuffle. We realized when the Shuffle came out that people didn't have a screen. And so if you didn't give them some indication right up front what the show was, number, date, title, whatever, they actually didn't know what show it was. Victor.
Yeah, this one I got right from Rob's playbook here, and that is, if you're looking for feedback on your show, you have a hotline, you're looking for call-ins, you know, put that telephone number on that top line, and it'll scroll through, and I know it works incredibly well for Rob. And it worked for my show, too. When I started doing that after I heard Rob talk about it, I saw a tremendous increase in the amount of people who were giving me feedback and providing information. So, you know, real good one, Rob. It worked real well.
Yeah, Bill?
You guys said to look at how your podcast looks on an iPod. That's a great idea. But I also wanted to say, look at an iPhone, too, or an iPod Touch. Both of them look the same. It looks different than an iPod. The artwork is larger. There's more emphasis on chapter markers. May influence how you want to put those things in. I went back and made a higher resolution version of my artwork so it didn't look like crap when it was full screen.
And again, if you don't own an iPod Touch or an iPhone, hey, and you don't have a friend who owns one, find your local Apple store or your local Apple dealer. I spend a lot of time in the Apple store just trying stuff out on different units, different machines, the new Nanos, whatever. The new Nanos and the new Classics have the new iPod interface, which if you haven't seen is worth taking a look at. That's a great resource for you. You don't have to spend any money. It doesn't cost you anything, but you can find out what this stuff looks like. Yes, sir.
Something I wanted to say about the whole tagging issue. You know, I have a podcast as well that's, you know, about getting my music out there. The services out there that scan all of the podcasts and convert them to Flash, you know, I do a Google search, and my actual podcast is like 12th down the list. So if you're doing the tags, it's probably a good idea to figure out a way so you're still getting your message out there, your exposure, your name, because you're not getting the hits, you're not getting the subscribers, you're not getting the downloads, because all of these Flash-based sites have somehow extracted your audio and have converted it to Flash, so at least people are still knowing, you know, who you are. Not necessarily just music, but, you know, everything.
Well, I know in some of the cases, though, even though they're using a Flash player, they're still pulling that file from your site. And, in fact, if you look in your log files, you'll often see agent IDs. This is the type of agent that was hitting the file. You'll see, you know, Flash player, WP player for the WordPress player and stuff like that. Do we know of anybody who's actually holding the data and hosting it themselves? I thought most of the Flash players were actually playing it off your site. Yeah, that's been an issue because it cuts your download hit, you know, your hit rate if you're getting advertising and so on and so forth. So we don't like that. We prefer they actually hit the file so we can get the stat count. Yes, sir.
Sure. Hold on, let me get a mic over to you.
Thanks. I'm brand new to this, and I just wanted to understand, how much time are the podcasters spending on search engine optimization?
I can speak for myself, and I agree. Zero.
Zero.
Yep.
Can you help me? I run some other sites, and I do spend time on it to make sure I'm getting the proper hits. So I just want to understand why it's zero, or do you regret not spending more time?
It's not zero for me, and I definitely recommend if it's zero, go buy Jason Van Orden's book on promoting your podcast. When we were sitting in the expo last year in his session, I listened to what he was saying, and I had my laptop open, and I was changing my feeds, and went from 50 Google hits to 1,000 Google hits that month. So search engine optimization, good thing. You do need to spend some time on it.
Wait.
Can I, just a follow-up question with that, if you're using WordPress, is there an opportunity, are there tutorials within WordPress that actually direct you into where you want to put your tags, et cetera, et cetera?
Yeah.
There is. Okay, thank you.
What Great, was that again? You. What's that URL again? Okay, so the general...
Podcasters have two lines of information in their show notes. You know, you're not going to get any search engine optimization without good show notes.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you have to remember, and this is a very important factor, and I think this in itself is a method of search engine optimization, but not in those so many terms, but Google cannot consume an audio podcast, at least not yet, okay? When your words are in an audio file, they're trapped. And you need to make sure that if you want to come up in search results, text-based search results, you've got to have something to feed the Google monster. Okay, so don't let yourself slide on that, because otherwise your hit rates will come down. Well, and I will say, Podzinger now, it's far from perfect, but one of the things I always wanted from them is access to the full transcript. And the fact is, at podzinger.com, you can actually get access to the full text transcript of your show now. And I said, it's not perfect. It's probably 80 to 85% accurate. Some people would say, though, it's easier to go back and edit that transcript to make it correct than it is to type it all in yourself. Depends on how fast of a typist you are. Yes, Heather. Good.
So I'm Heather Besant. Do you guys, like, I have to come clean. I don't really listen to podcasts or really do much about podcasts.
Heretic.
I'm here to learn, and mostly it's not because I haven't known about them, because I've known about them for like 3 years and I've kind of tried doing them. But like, they're really hard for me to find. They're really hard for me to listen to. And like, they don't dovetail with the rest of my media. So I just want to know, like, are you guys doing podcasts that like dovetail with blogging or other websites? Or like, I do searching and I can't find them, and it's just like a link and download it. And so, I mean, I really want to do it because I love new technology and I love the concept and I love, you know, video blogging and podcasting, but I just find it really difficult for me personally to kind of consume and create.
Well, it's also different ways of consuming too. Now, I still think, and my experience bears this out, and probably for most of you it does too, most people listen to podcasts directly from the website. Is that still the case for a lot of people? You're still seeing a lot of hits from the website? Yeah, so some still. That's why, and I think Todd has mentioned this in the past, but having a player on your website of some form, very important, because that's how you're gonna get people in. You're going to get them to listen to the show, they're going to like the show, and then they'll be ready to hopefully get them to subscribe. But they have to get it first. Now, again, for finding podcasts, what I do with my clients, and I'm a computer consultant by trade, I deal with people who are really new to computers, perhaps they're even in their 60s or 70s and never really had a computer. I can get them listening to podcasts, and I consider that a personal triumph, because it's not easy. But what I do is I refer them to iTunes. Now, for all its warts and all of its gotchas, iTunes, for me, is still the best place to get your show listed, because basically they'll list any show that has a valid feed. It has a search engine, which will search both categories, tags, genres, and all the items of your title. And it is basically a one- or two-click subscribe for most people. And so to this day, I still find that the easiest way to get newcomers introduced to it. Now, there's Paul Colligan, who does Marketing Online Live. They actually take that a step further. And they say, if you have a show, and this is kind of on the podcast end, but if you have a show, if you have a message you want to get out, the best way of getting that message out is to give them the MP3 player fully loaded. Load it up, hand it to them, and say, there's the content. Yes, Heather?
And like, I can really, and I do online radio, so I've done, like, the radio, and I've archived it, and I guess that's considered a podcast, but, so I've done the live online audio stuff, but it seems to me one of the real powers of this media is to be able to, like, do something with it that you, like, have a conversation or do something, like, have the vocal humanity personal interaction that you can't get from looking at a picture or reading some words or being like, who the hell is that person on their blog? Or, you know, like, it's just a different level. So I'm wondering, are people doing stuff like that?
TalkShoe is
we're doing it right
today.
We're doing it right now. This whole conversation is being streamed over TalkShoe, and it'll be archived there as well.
Is anybody watching the chat? Is anybody watching the chat?
Nobody is. Okay. We'll take a look at it.
We've also had great success with Ustream, and actually we'll bring up a Ustream video camera while we are actually doing our podcast, and we'll have tons of people sign on, and I think we've had up to 100 people at one time watching us as we do our show live, and that builds a community because they're sitting there in the chat window on Ustream, and they're starting to get to know each other in addition to, you know, interacting with us as we podcast. And so that's been a great tool for us.
I started broadcasting, Ustreaming, my twice monthly library classes because just for that effect, I can have friends, I can have unknowns coming into the chat room and engaging in the class even though they're, you know, thousands of miles away. So that's one aspect. I listen to several podcasts which are basically storytelling podcasts. One of my favorites is called The Jazz Diaries with Jeffrey Tozer, and it's the website slycrooner.com. It's a storytelling podcast. He also uses his own music as part of the podcast, and honestly, that's one of my favorites from that genre. I'll sit in the car, and I just rock out to that. It's very funny. It's very lighthearted. It has the music involved, and so that I think that's a good example that I know about personally. We had one question over here, and then we'll come back to you. Yes.
Another service that's out there for streaming like TalkShoe is called NowLive.com. And NowLive also has the chat. The nice thing about NowLive is you don't have to have your listeners install a third-party app. So I actually do a show 11 o'clock Easterns with Gary from Podcast Pickle and Paul Colligan and Dave Jackson called Today in Podcasting. And we do it live Wednesday nights, 11 o'clock on NowLive.com. And we get some good feedback where Adam... Chris Christensen is a regular person that comes in, so he can talk to you about the interaction part of it.
I'll put in a plug for Operator 11. It's O11.com, and they're another step up from Ustream in that you basically have a TV switcher. Heather, you can actually, if people are out there with webcams, you can actually bring them into your show live. O11.com. The company name is Operator 11. That's the first one I found, and there's probably others now, that allowed you to basically do that, where you can say, you can load and roll pre-recorded video, so you can have bumpers or jokes or commercials or whatever that you can merely, just like a cart machine at the radio station, you know, slam it in, hit play, and it'll go out through the stream. And then I did a quick test with Victor one night where I basically brought him into my library class. He had some comments, and then he could throw the switch back to me, and it seemed to work very well. And I think that's a step up in these video streaming sites, is allowing more interaction between people, because if you have a fairly popular show, you can have people all over the country gathering, and you can do like a morning zoo style show and actually see the other person, not just in the chat. Yes, right here.
Father Bill Holtzinger, I'm with the St. Anthony's podcast and also an affiliate with SQPN. I use Dreamweaver to basically do a lot of my stuff, and I'm curious, you mentioned players that are built into the websites. I use Libsyn. There is a player that's on the Libsyn page.
Right.
What might people recommend for someone like myself using Dreamweaver and just a regular HTML page?
I'll throw out my own, and then we got a couple hands already. I actually use the Delicious player on my website. It's a two-line script you can get from the Delicious website. Anytime it sees an MP3, it puts a little blue play symbol next to it. It's down, it's dirty, it works. Under WordPress, I use the kind of standard plugin, the WP Player plugin, if you're using WordPress. How about you?
I don't even do a blog. I do everything
through my website, and the Flash Player has been a really, really great addition. And I'm so sorry I don't remember the name of it. If you'll give me your email, I'll send it to you. But it was, for me, even though there's a lot of free Flash Players out there, the customizability, the ability to scheme it to the site, to me, was absolutely worth the money.
And see, I've never heard of that one for Dreamweaver. I have to add that to my collection, too.
I'm so sorry I don't remember the name of it, but I'll send it to you if you give me your info.
Over here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Which? Oh. Fight it out amongst yourselves. Okay, someone want
to... Yes, it may depend on what version of Dreamweaver, but I'm pretty sure that there is a built-in like Flash Player Builder thing in Dreamweaver, and you can put in audio or video, and it'll just make a little Flash Player thingy for it with the buttons and stuff, and there's several different templates.
Yeah, is that part of Fireworks? Is that someone who's more familiar with
Dreamweaver? I think
it's just Dreamweaver. Yeah. Todd, do you know?
Not about the Dreamweaver, but just take it easy on yourselves. There's plenty of sites that have players. Pick a player that you like, and most of them give you a little embed code. It's tied to your RSS feed. It's in a non-brainer. You don't have to update it. And
I know there's a PodTrack player that's out there, too. If you're using PodTrack to get stats or do surveys, you can use the PodTrack player. The one thing I don't like about it actually requires a click to bring up the player up, but it opens up in a separate window, which means people can continue listening and still view other websites without breaking the listening to the particular show you're doing. Okay, we got time for one last question, and then we're going to wrap up the Q&A that kind of got us started. Hope everybody kind of got introduced to everybody. Yes, sir, you're it.
I want to kind of change this up a little bit. I'm the type of person that I hate players. If I can't subscribe to it, I will probably not be a participant of that content. My question is, what are some good ways to, you know, bring in more people to subscribe? People like me that, you know, there has to be an easy way to subscribe it. I can handle it. There's a lot of people out there that can't handle anything past 3 or 4 clicks.
I would say provide a player and then provide one button subscription on the website, and then as well as mentioning it, how to subscribe within the podcast. But I know we get like a lot of people that come just off the player. And those people at some point are probably going to get savvy enough to subscribe. So give them 2 or 3 different ways on how they can do that.
And put the
you definitely want a player.
Put that subscribe button as close to the player as possible, if not in the player. I think some players even only to put it like right, you know, they have a thing where it's actually got the feed subscribe button right there. The one-touch subscribe button for iTunes is another great idea. Again, for all its warts and everything else, iTunes is still, for my people that I deal with, the easiest entry point. Yes, there's something better coming along, but yes.
You know, bringing up that one-button subscribe thing is
one of the big problems I think we have with podcasting right now, because the one-button subscribe is iTunes. And, you know, I love iTunes. I'm a Mac guy. I do the MacCast, and I think it's great, but iTunes is the only real way that I'm aware of to do that. And it's something that we as podcasters, I don't know if we have to put pressure out on the industry, but I mean, we got to get Microsoft, we got to get other companies in supporting that kind of integration with podcasts. And until that happens, we're in a real challenge place. And this came up last year, and here we are a year later, and we still have the same problem. Nothing's happened. So I don't know what the solution is, but there's a lot of great technology and companies out there that someone's got to be able to solve this dilemma. But you know, you should at the very least have the one-click iTunes, but there are people who just don't want to use iTunes. And how do you reach those people? You know, you got to have a streaming player, and then you've got to educate them on how they can copy an RSS feed and put it in a reader or some other thing that's going to get it into whatever jukebox software that they use. So,
well, thank you very much. I hope you got a little bit out of the question and answer this morning. My name is Douglas E. Welch. You can find me at welchwrite.com. If you have any questions, catch me here today. I'll be here for the whole expo, so if you have any questions, please feel free. I love talking about podcasting, as you can tell. Or you can visit welchwrite.com, welchwrite.com. Thanks again, and ready to move on, right?
Yep, and that is how you self-promote when given the opportunity. You just got to throw it out there.
Well, you know, that was an example, right? I had
absolutely
to give
no. That is what you got to do. You just got to seize the moment.
Douglas E. Welch facilitates the question and answer session at PodCamp SoCal, held September 27, 2007, in Ontario, California. Sponsored by the Orange County Podcasters and the LA Podcasters at ocpodcasters.com and lapodcasters.com. For more information, visit Douglas's website at welchwrite.com, WELCHWRITE.com.